The Olympic flame is out and the athletes are departing with their medals and memories. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold, Tom Goldman and Howard Berkus followed the competition, celebrations and controversy in Salt Lake City. Now they share some final reflections on the 19th Winter Olympics. We start with Elizabeth Arnold.
I remember lying on a braided rug watching Peggy Fleming on the black and white TV set that was only on for the Olympics and the moon landing. She was graceful, and she smiled as she did the unimaginable, double salchows and death spirals. Athletic, but awkward, I tried turns and jumps out on the frozen golf course pond and knew sequins and tights were not in my future. But other than Peggy, I had no heroes. I taped up a hockey stick and was allowed to join the boys' game and play goalie when the ice was thin at the edges. I inherited my brother's skis and spent countless hours riding rickety chairlifts and skiing bulletproof ice. I grudgingly learned to cross-country ski on the days my dad and brother didn't want me tagging along to the downhill slopes. But I had no heroes. Maybe that's why I found myself swallowing hard and wiping my eyes at these games over and over again. Watching women's ice hockey, I was cheering for both Canada and the U.S. for the sheer joy of seeing women handle the puck in front of a roaring crowd, a crowd that wasn't there for the novelty of it, but simply to see some good hockey. Maybe that's why I ran back and forth to every possible vantage point at Soldier Hollow to see Norwegian cross-country skier Bente Skeri find the strength after six grueling miles to pass the 2 liters before she collapsed at the finish. And maybe that's why I could barely speak, let alone interview, Janica Kostelic at the bottom of the slalom course she just ripped through. The 20-year-old Croatian skier winked when I managed a lame question. "Girl," she said matter-of-factly, "I ski fast, I get down the hill fast, simple." Almost every member of the women's hockey team had brothers who played or fathers who coached. They had no heroes. No women came before them. In her bio, cross-country skier Bente Skeri names her dad, who won gold and silver, and legend Bjorn Dali as her heroes. There are no females listed. And the 13-year-old Croatian who ate pickle sandwiches and slept in cars with her dad to save money for lift tickets probably had no heroes either. But she's one now to me, and hopefully to some awkward but athletic girl out there watching Kostelic smiling as she does the unimaginable, gracefully flying through gates at 60 miles an hour.
This is Tom Goldman. I had a plan for the last day of the Olympics. I'd go to watch the final cross-country skiing race of the Games, the women's 30 kilometers, and I'd watch as a spectator, enjoying the beautiful mountain atmosphere and the incredible strength and endurance of the skiers. It would be my lasting image of the Salt Lake City Olympics. But early that morning, police and some local kids clashed downtown. While that was going on, reports flashed on the news wires about a positive drug test. The drug news would ultimately lead to the winner of that 30K race I'd so much wanted to see getting kicked out of the games. Now I'd have to cover these seamy stories, and I spontaneously blurted out, "I hate the Olympics." You have to understand, I'd already spent a significant amount of time reporting on judging scandals, the wrath of the Russians, who reignited Cold War politics in the Olympics, and a steady stream of drug stories. Really, I don't hate the Olympics. I've been lucky enough to cover 5 of them, and at these games, there certainly was a lot to love. The local residents' enthusiasm, the great sporting moments, like when Americans Jill Bakken and Vanetta Flowers won the women's bobsled event. Bakken and Flowers were modest people, overwhelmed by their victory. What made it even greater, before the race, they'd been virtually ignored by reporters who were more interested in the soap opera saga of another U.S. bobsledding team. Then there was 35-year-old Georg Hockel of Germany, the greatest athlete in the sledding sport of luge. After missing a chance to win a gold medal in a record 4th straight Olympics, Hockel talked quite genuinely about the honor of winning a silver medal. These are moments we expect in the Olympics, particularly after the opening ceremony, so well done this year, with its ideals of cooperation among nations, of fair play and judging. Of course, ideals always are tempered by reality, but from my perspective, there was too much reality at these games. I just hope at the next Winter Olympics I get to see more of the ideals and a 30K race at the end.
This is Howard Berkus. For me, these were the hometown Olympics. I've lived here 20 years, almost as long as people sought the games, and I've seen the angst and excitement grow. There was the day in 1995 when thousands celebrated wildly as Salt Lake City finally became Olympic host. Not everyone celebrated. There were fears about environmental damage, corporate greed, taxpayer debt, unfavorable attention, a flood of newcomers, and gridlock. We got some of that, and we got something no one ever imagined. a scandal that tarnished the city and the games, at least for a while. It seemed that support for the Olympic bid was for sale, and the bid committee was eager to oblige. Indictments and embarrassment followed, but the federal prosecution faltered. The scandal faded as fears grew about terrorism and traffic jams. Then our communal insecurity kicked in big time. We were worried about how we'd look to the rest of the world. Boring, unsophisticated, fanatic, polygamous, and self-righteous, without a good stiff drink in sight. We came off better than that. This city rocked like it never has before. Thousands jammed downtown streets every night. We even had our own little drunken melee. And the only real complaint about drinking was the watered-down beer. Visitors praised us for our friendliness, though some thought we overdid it. Even the soldiers and security staff searching our cars and ourselves were cheerful. Some of them were neighbors. The mother of one of my daughter's classmates dutifully had me switch on my cell phone, pager, and laptop, even though she knows I'm not in the habit of using them to hide weapons and explosives. The world did get to see our ugliest side, the awful brown haze we get in winter that makes us look like Los Angeles. But with that being the worst, we didn't do so bad. Still, there's a reality check today. Remember that bribery scandal? It may be faltering, but it's not dead. Today, legal briefs were due in the case, less than 24 hours after the Olympic flame was extinguished. We may have that Olympic spirit with us for some time to come.
NPR's Howard Berkus in Salt Lake City. We also heard from Elizabeth Arnold and Tom Goldman.